get you to turn my fold back up for me, my keys.
Let's rip it all away to only you remain. I'm coming back to my first love, only you.
That he will bear witness or testify to you what Jesus. And then in Revelation it says, testimony of Christ is a spirit of prophecy. So there is a bit of like, not just I'm saying something good, but I'm saying something that eternal Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he can do it again. That's a sense of spirit of prophecy. So generally, testimony, if you have a sincere heart and humility, and all you want to do is not promote yourself, but promote what Christ, is always good. It's always good. But the better testimony is understanding the right time using the right word. Then that testimony becomes a prophecy, where you say it in such a way with authority and anointing at that time, you will bring encouragement, edification, comfort, and strengthen. So that's what we're going to try to do. And I will call out one or two because I think sometimes you don't know you are the right person, the right time to share, you know. So I'm going to pick is the wrong word. I'm going to invite my son, Daniel, to share about the parable of talent, which Melanie alluded to, which some of us would like, parable of talent? I'm not really talented. What are you talking about? Daniel is going to explain to us. Yes. All right. My son, whom I'm well pleased and love, has to be scriptural, all right, from the Bible.
Don't make it up. Please.
Well, now I don't know what to talk about. So Dad asked me to share about 10 talents, which is a parable in the Bible. I'm actually going to share about the 10 minus. So if you don't know what parables are stories or kind of metaphors that Jesus would tell people around him, and they would often be a little bit confusing, but there's a lot of wisdom in them and they're great to discuss. So the 10 talents is one of these parables, and actually appears twice in the Bible, and when something appears more than once in the Bible, it's usually a good maybe I'll pay attention to that. I'm going to stand up here because it's kind of weird standing down there. I'm not looking down on you, it's a bit, can't see everyone. On camp, we were talking about money and how we kind of think about money and what we naturally want to do with money. And for me, I was in the camp of, if you have money, you should invest it. You should grow it. You should steward it. Some of that comes from other places in the Bible, but one example of where I think we're encouraged to invest what God has given us is in the 10 talents. So the parable of the 10 talents, or the 10 minas, is there is a guy, he's not a king yet, so there's this man who's in charge of a lot of things, and he is sent away to become a king. Before he goes on his journey, He has a number of servants, and to one of his servants he gives 10 minas, or $10. I'm just going to say dollars because that's a little bit easier. I'm going to be paraphrasing because it is a bit hard to remember everything word for word. So for one servant, he gives them $10. For another servant, he gives them $5. And for the last servant, he gives them $1. And he goes off. There's other parts of the story which are also fascinating, but he goes off to become king, and he becomes king, and he comes back, and he goes to the servants and says, "What have you done?" So the servant who had 10 minas or $10 says, "Look, you know, I had these $10 and I made 10 more dollars." And the now king says, "Wow, that's awesome. Because you've been faithful in this small amount, I'm going to give you reign over 10 kingdoms to look after for me." He goes to the next servant and he says, "What have you done with the 5? And he's like, "Oh, I made 5, also doubled." And he's like, "Awesome, I will give you control over 5 kingdoms." And he goes to the last servant, he only had a dollar, and you know, this servant was a little bit nervous because he was like, "Look, you're a tough man, you know, you reap where you do not sow, and you harvest where you don't plant," something along those lines. But he was kind of nervous, so rather than investing money, he hid it away. And he says, "Look, I still have the dollar, I didn't lose it, isn't that great?" And the king's like, "Oh, no, very, very bad." You know, the scripture is actually quite ruthless in how it describes the servant. It's like, "You're a wicked servant. What have you done? You know, you could have put it in the bank. You could have got interest. You could have done anything. But you just, what are you doing?" And he actually goes and he says, "Look, I'm going to take what little you had, that $1, and I'm going to give it to the person who had 10. And the scripture ends with a really interesting, I think it's very fascinating at least, where the king says, "Whoever has, more will be given to him, and whoever has little, even that will be taken away," which is kind of a bit of a tangent of what I want to talk about, but I think it's very fascinating, because I think a lot of us will think, oh, you know, the poor, you know, we reach out to them and they get more, and the rich, you know, they have to give away, kind of thing. But in this passage, I think it's very kind of puts things upside down for a lot of people, and it's something to think about. Yeah, anyway, that's a parable. And the main point of that parable, to me at least, is so this was the one in Luke, which is the dollars or the minas, is when Jesus is talking in the house of a tax collector. So to me, I think it's quite clear they're talking about money. You know, I think it is also a metaphor for everything in life in some ways, but I think it's also about money. And I think it is where God is saying, "Hey, I'm lending you this. I'm lending you these great things on earth, but I do expect you to do something with it." And I think one of the things that sticks out to me as well is it's actually easier to make money when you have money. If you have $10, it's easier to make money. If you have $5, easier. So when you have one, it's actually quite tricky. And I think for a lot of us, sometimes we can feel a little bit insecure or scared, or it's like, "Oh, I just have this little thing." You know, rather than trying and maybe failing, I'm not going to try at all. And I think this scripture really encourages us to say, "Look, you've been given something to steward, and you know Jesus does expect you to do something with it, however great or however little." I think you know we're called to do something with that. I really encourage you to read the parables because I think it's really interesting. I think especially the last bit, I don't really understand it. I can't really tell you what it means, but I do find it quite compelling. So I think, yeah, that sounds good. We'll leave it there. Dad wants me to put my hands together, so I assume that means pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to spend time with you and learn about you and praise you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us to see what it is that you've given us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the confidence to go out and do something with it, Lord. And help us realize as well that you know any talents, any gifts, any money, you've given us is by your grace, and at the end of the day, it is yours. And it is our pleasure to multiply it, not for ourselves, but for you, Lord. So I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, sorry, I need to step down. There you go.
So good. Hey. Praise the Lord. That's Daniel. Daniel doesn't put up his hand much, but if you call him, he's always willing to step up, which I really appreciate. And so testimony, like say, is simply not history, all right? We're not going to talk about history. History means when I was saved, actually, before I was saved, let me tell you what happened, da-da-da-da-da-da. Testimony is like, oh, wow, this is so fresh. This is something I want to share, and you kind of feel right a bit. You know, like what Daniel say, have a go at it. You know, this is a culture of grace and truth. If you fail, I'm not going to kick you. I just say, interesting. All right. Who wants to go next? Oh, I see that hand Jake put up before you. Is that all right? Let the young man go first. Jake, please, come. Tommy, you also got one, eh? John 15:16. But after this, we have Neil, and then you think about whether you want to share John 15:16.
I think Tom would like to share. All right. I just want to share some scriptures that's got my got into my heart recently. Start with the scripture, I will. So it is 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, spelled Paul and his thorn in the flesh. So it is to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. I read this because I was reading something online in a forum. I like it how people in the forum put up a post and say things about Christians. I like it because I get into there and I see different perspectives. And it prompts me to get back to the scripture and learn. And because in there, I see people asking why those prayers, you pray and it doesn't get things done immediately. For example, why do we still suffer from pain and disease? Whatever it is, and then I read about someone sharing this scripture that even Paul, assuming probably getting closer to Jesus, probably having a better relationship with Jesus than I do, probably know him better, and then with this scripture, and it reminds me, it is the fragility of humankind, and also fragility of us as Christians, because we don't get rid of that. And also when Jesus come in flesh, he shares that fragility, and that gives us common ground in sharing the gospel, because we all are in that together. We all are fragile. Even Jesus get hungry, even Jesus get tempted. And even the disciples, sometimes don't do much better than us. And yeah, and it is a comfort to me, because in the past I may think I may feel pressured, because probably I feel I'm not good enough. I think I'm a Christian, but I often do not have enough faith, and I get anxious, and I think about this, think about that, and but now I realize it is actually a common ground for me when I am sharing with the others, because if they are scared, I'm scared too. If they are not sure, I'm not sure as well. But at the end, I will show something that is, I may show peace that is beyond what they normally will do, and probably people would be curious, and that's the time I can share. And the other thing I love at Heia is I always come back Heia every week. Most of the time I may be tired, but I always get reminded that I'm in good hands. And in fact, we're moving forward. 2 years and a half before we came here, knowing no one in Adelaide, don't even know what is in Adelaide. And a year ago, we started coming to the camp and built relationship with different people in the church, and also get to know more people outside the church and share my experience in church and in Christ. And yeah, that is when I realized that fragility, that those pain and those sorrowness in my life is a good chance for me to share that there is something beyond what the society tells us, and there is some peace that is that only comes from the Lord. And yeah, we can share that. Yeah. Can I end with one more scripture? That is Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I think that is my sharing from an anxious person, but still trying.
I'm sure I speak about this, but it's from a lot of people. You did really, really well. I can see you preaching, all right? You explained the scripture very well, and you were very real. You didn't pretend. You brought a scripture, you apply it, and then you like, you know, you were fragile, you were weak, but you're leaning on God's grace, and then you give application so that people know how to not be anxious and pray. So because of that, you get to pray for us.
Okay. Dear Lord, here I pray for everyone. Despite there is always challenge and self-questioning, as we all are just flesh and fragile human beings, always remind us your presence with us and make use of us, for we all are in the same body, and we remind each other and do the work you want us to do in this world at this moment, and yeah, in Adelaide. Amen.
That's very good, Jake. Pastor Jake. Yeah. Hey, because of time, we're going to have just two more, but like I say, testimony and, you know, the prophecy, just ask God, you know, you can do it anywhere. You know, like Jake say, he's now like able to share more. I don't know whether you share in a forum. I think that's a tough place to, anyway, that's something else. Some people can do that. So just two more. Neil, I know you put up your hand, my brother. You want to share? Can you do it in 2 minutes? Okay. You are seasoned. You can do 2 hours, 2 minutes, 20 minutes. Okay.
I did 8 hours yesterday. I lost my close friend Glenn 5 weeks ago. And then my heart was broken, the loss of Rodney. You don't really realise when you lose a brother that's so close how much it affects you. But camp last week, they're doing that little exercise, writing little things down. Brother and sister wrote things that were very pertinent to me about faithfulness. And I took home, went home, and I bawled my eyes out. Because I suffered loss, losing my mother 2 weeks before our wedding, my wife and I. And I just pushed it back. But to lose my brother, who is my confidant, one of them.
Oh, I'm still here.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
So, long story short, my prayer has always been to sow into young men. And it's a privilege to sow into Jake's life, a little bit here, a little bit there, to see him grow to where he is now. Yesterday, some brothers laid hands on me about this, stepping into a new season at the FGB meeting, Full Gospel Business. It's a men's group plus women now, so it's just FGBA. And three men, for the rest of the day, I sowed scripture into them. One was I've been seeing for a while, and the other two were ex-drug addicts who needed a bit of steering, but by God's grace, was able to expound the word. That's always been my heart's desire, is a one-on-one and see a life change. For that wheat that's sown, they'll bring forth far more than what I can do as an individual, because Jesus works through all of us. In Jesus' name.
So good. Can you pray that we finish well, all right? I know Glenn, I know Rodney, you know. I get to say goodbye to Rodney just before he passed away. Yeah. So, yeah, pray that we finish well and finish strong.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for strengthening us all. As we call on your might, on your word, that, dear Father, we just rejoice not in what we've lost in the natural, but what those brothers have gained to be eternal. And Father God, for young men to become old men, young women to become mature women, that we all mature in Christ, that we conquer our fears by the power of the Holy Ghost, by your word of grace as we read it, speaks into our heart. And Father God, our cry is to all finish well. And Father God, that may we do this in your might, through your Spirit, and be truly led by your Spirit to see signs, wonders and miracles in other people's lives. For we are all commissioned equally, whether we're young or old. We're all commissioned with the same power of the Holy Spirit. So Father God, the prayer is that all of us, collectively, individually, sow seeds in other people's lives. In Jesus' name.
So I apologize in advance that we can't have too much time. So I'm just going to get Melanie because she started off and she get to finish, and then we'll have time of worship. Worship to me is essential. Corporate worship, there's nothing like that. We just hang out in the present God and let God cuddle us in his presence.
As briefly as I can, Marima and I were away a couple of weeks ago at a leadership conference where they shared with us John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, that's Jesus, he may give it to you. And we were challenged, would we be audacious enough to ask? And would we ask big? Or are we limiting God? So over the last several weeks, I've been asking God to bring people. That's it. Bring people. He knows my heart. He knows what for. Lord, bring people. Well, he's doing it. He's doing it. We are seeing people turn up. And when I say, how did you hear about us in Strathalbyn? Oh, well, this guy posted this thing on Facebook. Who? I don't even know these people. People are posting things about us. People are sharing the word in town. We've got council people sharing what we're doing. I don't know these people, but God's doing some work. And so people are coming. We had 15 kids at youth group on Friday night. Like, wow. Half of them I now don't know, which is amazing because it's no longer within our circle of influence. It's God's bringing people. But I was audacious enough to ask because God's put something in me that my fruit, I would continue to bear fruit, and that I'm actually allowed to ask and be audacious in my asking when it's for the kingdom of God. And so I just want to encourage you, are you limiting God or are you audacious enough to ask something from him? Because he loves you and he wants you to bear fruit. Father God, you know the hearts of every single person here. You know the thing that they're saying, oh, Lord, if I could just do this for you, or if I could step into this, or would you bring this? Lord, you know what they're asking of you. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to move afresh, that you would breathe on the dreams and visions you've given them, on the ideas that you have planted in them. Would you come and breathe life into them, and would you come and do a good work in their lives that answers to prayers would be seen? Because we want to bless you, Lord. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We're going to go into a time of worship, and often we come into a time of very reflective worship, and we will get to that. But I thought for our first song together that we would reflect on what's been shared, that God has been doing amazing things in people's lives and hearts and wants to continue to do that. And so I want us to join in and to declare together that our God does great things, doesn't he? He does great things, that we encourage each other in that. So let's encourage our own spirits as we sing this song together, Great Things. So please be upstanding as we join together, and let's make it a declaration and a real praise to Jesus.